Welcome to the Lost Op podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's the penultimate day of TPR number 4, and the group of riders at the finish line in Girona is growing by the hour. Those pushing out on the road have until midnight on Saturday to join them and claim a finish within general classification. The team in Control Car 1 are still out on the tail end of the Ray Parkour, hoping to speak to riders as the end of their journey starts to come into view. Tom Probert, race reporter.
Tom here from Control Car 1. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning here. We've just had the most spectacular sunrise here. Really, really bright orange sun lighting up just the optimal amount of little wispy clouds to light up, little billowy textured clouds, so it looks absolutely stunning. And I'm just wandering through this Mediterranean landscape again. So we'll be spending the day in and around the back of the race now and picking up the very last riders out on the route who, much like this vegetation, are hardy souls, battling against the elements and surviving. And we're far enough through the raid now that I think a lot of riders at this point can legitimately start to target the finish and look ahead to completing this challenge. We stayed in Axat last night, a little town in the Pyrenees Orientales, that's the region that we're in now, and I've just been dropped off by the control car to do a little interview with Esther Lloyd. Does it feel like you've got the worst of the terrain over now, that at least?
No. Every time we change directions, this headwind is killer. So, and no, I would never take anything for granted. Even if it looks easy on paper, it's not going to be.
So you're not thinking too much about the finish yet?
Oh, I'm absolutely thinking about the finish. But yeah, I don't know when. Somehow, maybe. Yeah.
What would it mean to you to get to the finish?
I don't know. I think way more than I want to admit. So I'm trying not to think about it. If I do make it, I think, I don't know, you know how we're going through the stages. I've been through my sadness when I was bawling my eyes out, pushing my bike up a col. Maybe we'll get to acceptance at the finish line.
Are you through anger yet?
No.
In Girona, race reporter Stuart Downey speaks to the latest rider to roll into the finish, Philip Bauman, Cap 57.
Philip, congratulations.
Thanks.
Finished early this morning.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was pretty good. I pushed through the night, so I'm usually sleeping quite a lot during the race, so every night 5 to 7 hours. So then this is why I had the resource to push through the last night without any major issues. It was a long night, but it was okay.
What have been the highlights of the race for you?
The landscape, for sure. I mean, it was so many different landscapes and so many different weather conditions. I had like nearly 30 degrees down in Saint-Jean-le-Luz. I had snow at freezing cold temperature yesterday. One day full of rain. Okay, it's,
yeah. A bit of everything. A nice
bit of everything.
And this isn't your first TPR, right?
No, it's my second one. Last year I did this. Yeah.
How did they compare?
Pretty similar. So I had a similar strategy. I've seen now some places by daylight. I've seen last year not because it was dark, but at some point I was in sync with last year, so I slept at the same point, so I have still some blind spots.
Maxim Kihayhov, Cap 89.
What kind of lessons are you going to take away from this?
Well, definitely kid choice, having warmer clothes for sure, being prepared for more situations, not taking it like I did a gamble to wear more to take less and hopefully like wish for the best. Yeah. It's not a great strategy.
Okay.
Still, I wanted to enjoy the ride with a light bike, but yeah, you at some point you have to take some more stuff with you.
Sure. You yeah. can roll the dice and you get lucky sometimes, but sometimes maybe not.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, I think Robert was his name with the slippers. Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might get lucky, but you might yeah. not.
Maybe the slippers were never going to work. That was a bad idea from the start.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Anything else or?
Well, cows were friendly. Only one dog that disputed the road, but we got along well.
Yeah.
So yeah, a great place to cycle.
Yeah.
Generally in Spain.
Yeah.
Amazing food, amazing warm people. France was also really beautiful, although it was closed on Sunday. Everything.
Yeah.
It's common for riders to reach the end of an ultra race and start thinking about the transition back to real life, where there's a little more to think about than what to eat, when to stop, and how the heck am I going to get over that mountain? George Hodgkinson, Cap 15.
Do you think adjusting back to, inverted commas, normal life is going to be tricky?
It's different. Yeah. Cause it's that thing, you get into the routine of wake up and you've got nothing on your mind other than pedaling and food. Whereas actually having the normal stuff again, it will take a couple of days to get used to again.
Yeah. And talking about with the sleep strategy where you're doing 4 hours a night, is that something you'd sort of practiced or prepared for?
I've done it. I did it ultra start this year and I did a similar strategy, like trying to get 4 hours a night.
Yeah.
But this is my first year of doing ultra racing, so it's something I'm not overly familiar with.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to learn and see what I can do.
Yeah, well, great effort.
Yeah, like I probably could have rode through last night, but then I didn't want to risk it and fall asleep on the bike coming into Girona.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I only slept 60k away from the finish, but
yeah,
it's that worry of can I actually push through the night or will something go wrong?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't think it was worth the risk, so.
Well, you got here in the daylight and the sun's out.
So. Yeah, that was another positive of that. I want to enjoy the finish.
Fiona Kolbinger, Cap number 4, reached Girona in the early hours of yesterday morning, drenched and in need of some rest and recuperation. Stuart caught up with her today to find out how she feels about her first experience in the Pyrenees.
What did you think?
I loved it. It was, I think, the most scenic and consistently beautiful race I've ever done. I've thought about why that is, and I think it is because the network of parkours and the network of roads between these parkours that can connect them doesn't encompass a lot of huge roads with a lot of trucks. So I never rode on any roads that felt dangerous or where I felt traffic was coming too close. Most of the roads in Spain also have a pretty good shoulder to ride on, so that was pretty easy. And I just love the landscape. It's so dramatic and but still so varying, right? And one day you ride through a beautiful valley and then there are these rock formations, and the next day you're on top of a mountain and there are some green meadows, and then you feel the cycling culture too, right? On top of Tourmalet, there are some like cyclist statues, and you feel like you're immersed in a world where you belong on your bike, and that's really, really nice. And I loved it.
Like being part of cycling history, in a way.
Yeah, maybe that would be a bit exaggerated, exaggerating, yeah, or romantic. But it felt like doing the right thing in the right place at the right time, and that was very nice.
TPR number 4 was the first race for Leila Sabuti, Cap number 2. Despite making the decision to scratch before reaching the Atlantic Ocean, she's gained an awful lot from the experience. She's also now back in Girona ready for the finishers' party on Saturday evening.
It was my first race, so I've never done anything like this. And I rode like so much more than I've ever ridden in my life. And it's kind of incredible. Like, I didn't know I was able to do this. So I kind of discovered my new, like, that I was able to ride that fast, that far, and that much meters of ascent.
Yeah. What inspired you to give it to try?
I've been thinking about it for several years, because I always like to ride my bike, and I bike a lot. And so I've wanted to try ultra cycling for a while, but I never thought that I was good enough to do it. And this year I was just like, okay, I'll just give it a try, and we'll see. If I like it, then awesome. If I don't like it, then it's fine. And try it.
You tried it and you liked it.
And I liked it.
You're going to do it again?
Yeah, I think so. I think my parents wouldn't like me to do it again, but I really enjoyed it.
Control car one, stopping for our lunch break at the end of the Gorge de Galamousse. We found a fantastic little cafe that's serving up one of the most beautiful sandwiches I think I've ever seen, with some local red cheese, which is like tomato flavoured, and just looks stunning. As does this gorge. It's extremely dramatic, cutting right into the hillside and seemingly just plunging down infinitely. And a lot of the riders that we've seen come through here have been almost like getting vertigo looking down. Some parts of it have a balcony road where the road is cut right into the side of the cliff face, and it's really light grey, almost white rock, which contrasts against all the dark vegetation. So visually extremely striking. And then there's a vicious wind blowing down the valley, which is basically being a tailwind for the riders, so they're loving it, but also it's swirling around a lot, so it's a bit unpredictable. We've stationed ourselves here, had a bit of lunch, and a lot of the riders seem to be stopping in for a little break, and they've been absolutely buzzing, having gone through such a cool feature and such beautiful landscape.
The first rider Tom speaks to is Graham Stewart, Cap 28.
I mean, Monday is a bit funny anyway, but then Wednesday night's weather was just so bad, and the hotelier was really good. She sort of stayed open a bit later so I could come in. I think David Sanchez came in after me as well, and it was just horrible. I mean, it was really wet, heavy rain, pouring rain. I was really cold and shivery, and she just sort of like took pity on me and laid out this great feast and a large glass of red wine. Fantastic. And then after that, I just thought, I'm just going to sort of tour it back. So I've been sleeping more, slept more last night, had about 5 hours sleep, and just left early to get up the Palier, and then just sort of, I think I'm just going to try and go through the night and see what happens tomorrow.
I guess to some extent you probably feel comfortable that you can make it in time now, so is that just taking the pressure off?
Yeah, definitely. There's no sort of pressure, no rush. I can just sort of take it easy and just sort of tour it back, really, which is good.
You must be relieved that the weather's kind of got back to
after that heavy rain, that was really bad. I mean, I was absolutely drenched, everything was soaked, all my bags had water in them, everything. But yeah, the weather's much better now, and of course that wind that we've got is a tailwind, so even better.
Ben Wormald, Cap 29.
Are you feeling like you're on the final stretch now?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. How long have I got left? I've got 136 kilometres left of the raid parkour, and then about 50 kilometres after that, it's like downhill, isn't it? So, and flat, so that's a free 50k. And then a few hills, and then flat to Girona with one hill at the end. That's it, isn't it?
What time are you hoping to get in? Have you thought that far ahead?
It depends what I can do today. That's my plan. I'm just going to ride until I can't be bothered to ride anymore, and then I quite like to get a little bit of time before the finishers party to have a shower.
And what are you looking forward to on the finish line or when you get back to Girona?
Well, my girlfriend's coming to the finish line tomorrow.
Correct
so
answer.
That'll be nice. No, we're having a holiday for a week in near the beach near Girona. So I'm looking forward to that whole week, basically. And just, yeah, can't wait. Just to do nothing. And I'm looking forward to a beer as well at the end. That'll be quite nice.
Amazing.
But yeah,
but it sounds like at the moment you don't want this to stop. You're having such a good time.
I don't want the sun to stop. I'm sure when it gets dark, I'll be feeling slightly different. But. Yeah.
Sophia Atwood-Appley, Cap 63.
Is this a nice welcome break then? You were ready to stop?
Yeah, I was. So I was ready for a coffee. I often find I don't drink enough, as much coffee as I drink at work, and then I get tired. Because normally, you know, at work, you're just mainlining tea and coffee all day. And you don't actually realise that when you're out and about, you still need that amount of caffeine, especially when you're doing something like this.
Have you noticed much difference between the coffee in the different places that you've been so far?
I think Spanish coffee's better, but I think that that possibly is based on temperature. As in, when you're sitting in the sun, it feels nicer having a coffee, so it makes you feel like the coffee tastes better. Whereas in France, you just want to get it down you because you're cold and you want to keep moving.
Interesting. You must be relieved that the sun's come back out.
Oh, I am. I cannot express to you how cold I... So I bivvied on the descent of the Pale Hares last night at 1,500 metres, and it was very cold. Yeah. It was the sort of cold where you think, am I going to wake up? You know, like, I'm just going to lie down and let the cold take me. And then I just woke up to my alarm. I was like, oh, so I'm still here. Nice. But I was like in this little sort of hole, so it was slightly sheltered from the wind, but it was really tight. So my bike was a good little spoon.
Afternoon, and as the team in Control Car 1 start to make their own way towards Girona to join the team in Control Car 2, they run into Caroline Buckland, Cap 24. She's one of many riders to have spent the last few days battling through wildly varying temperatures and weather conditions on the Raid Parcours.
So the first half went pretty well. Second half is challenging of the whole trip. So yeah, just a lot of time to think about where I want to be and where I am. So yeah, real mixed bag. The weather's been brutal as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's made a big difference, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just been so cold. And then trying to warm up afterwards.
You must be relieved now it's the sun's back out.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the descending. That descending, but descending's a bit that I absolutely love, and what's been difficult is I haven't been able to enjoy it because I've been descending off a 2,000 meter col in the middle of the night, which isn't overly enjoyable because it's just so cold. So that bit was really nice, made a change, felt like I got a little bit of mileage under my belt. So I think I'm ready for it to be done now. I think I've reached my limit.
Yesterday, when Tom spoke to Per, Toon de Keyser and Jorn Blukens, Caps 101 A and B, they were considering scratching. After a lot of deliberation, they did indeed decide to end their race early and go into touring mode for the last few hundred kilometres by leaving the Raid Parcours and choosing a flatter, easier route to Girona.
So you managed to have almost two different experiences in one, right? So you had the fun of pushing yourselves and having the serious race, but then you had the actual fun of just being relaxed and having a laugh.
Yeah, for me that's exactly describes it. You know, I feel very lucky in that way that we had this both kind of experiences. It's also, yeah, I know it's said this is not a vacation or this is not a holiday, and that's the warning when you participate on this race. But I also think that in our busy lives, we really needed a little bit of that vacation as well. You know, like we had the focus of the race, we had the adventure part, you know, like that comes with the race and the focus. And then also we had the touring mode, which I think every biker really loves, you know, like that is doing this kind of things, you know, like so.
And it was a luxury decision, eh? Because it was not like somebody had a major breakdown and we were forced to quit, or we basically had the option. So it was nice to have options.
One rider to complete TPR number 4 the hard way and earn a fully stamped brevet card is Cap 96, George Dukes, who arrives at the finish after a mammoth last couple of stints on the bike.
It's like, I desperately want to go to sleep, but like, I kind of don't want to stop, like...
You can go again if you want.
Yeah, it's almost like...
Just nip back to Sansad.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's weird, like, very Stockholm syndrome, like, you get so used to it that it just feels you're not ready to leave the rhythm almost.
I've been going since 8 p.m. last night.
Surely it was more like 9.
It might have been 9 by the time I got going, but
just a solid 26 hours.
Yeah, let's not split.
And then 4 hours before that, I'd done 27 hours. Yeah. I really sort of backloaded this race completely, like
on purpose. Or?
No, just I don't know. I guess I've kind of found a rhythm a bit, but
you were possessed by the spirit of ultra.
What's the final time?
7 days, 15 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hell of an effort.
Yeah.
Cheers.
I'm happy with that, thank you.
Join us in our next episode and the last day of this edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race. We'll find out which of our remaining riders out on the road will make it to Girona in time for the start of the finishers' party. At the very least, they'll be hoping to get there before midnight so they can claim a spot in general classification at TPR number 4. Don't forget, you can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dog website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.